Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Boart Longyear Recapitalisation Transaction Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, the 23rd of October, 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Richard O'Brien, President and CEO. Please go ahead, Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you, operator, and thanks to all of you for attending our call today. Slides two and three just show some important notices contained that really set out some of the qualifications around our announcement today. One additional note, all of my references today will be in U.S. dollars unless I specifically refer to Australian dollars. So on slide five, we're very pleased to announce that Boart Longyear today has entered into an agreement with Centerbridge Partners covering a comprehensive recapitalization of our company. Prior to the agreement, Centerbridge was the company's largest equity holder, owning about 13% of the ordinary shares. We believe that this shareholder-led recapitalization provides significant benefits to the company and all of its stakeholders. Through the recapitalization, Centerbridge is contributing debt and equity capital and will provide ongoing operational resources and expertise for the benefit of all of the company's stakeholders and its shareholders. We welcome Centerbridge as a significant lead investor in Boart Longyear and look forward to their assistance as we secure and build upon our position as the world's leading provider of drilling services, drilling equipment, and performance tooling for mining and drilling companies globally. Moving to slide six. Look, for Boart Longyear, this recapitalization represents the completion of a strategic review process initiated in February of this year. After a very extensive review of a number of potential recapitalization and restructuring options, we sincerely believe that the recapitalization with Centerbridge is the best course of action for the company and is superior to other available options. It is the best available option to maximize long-term shareholder value. It allows meaningful participation by our existing shareholders, and it will, as you hear, create a more sustainable and flexible capital structure for the company. When complete, the recapitalization results in that more stable capital structure with significantly less financial risk as a result of an equity injection of between $119 million and $127 million, a reduction in net debt of $120 million, a substantial improvement in liquidity as the new term loans have no financial maintenance covenants, and we will no longer face the potential defaults that we were routinely facing under our former credit agreement. Additionally, we will reduce cash interest costs by about $13 million per year as a result of a deferral feature which accretes interest and is payable only at maturity. We believe that this recapitalization will remove the huge shadow of uncertainty that financial and default risk has cast across our otherwise valuable and unique franchise. As of today, the company has replaced its former revolving credit facility with a fully funded term loan. We've increased our financial flexibility by removing financial maintenance covenants, and we've received an injection of approximately $6 million of new equity through a placement to Centerbridge, bringing their equity ownership to 19.9%. Upon completion of the recapitalization, the company will reduce its debt level by approximately $120 million. We will raise new equity proceeds of between $119 and $127 million, and we will potentially refinance up to $105 million of the company's senior secured notes, utilizing debt that accretes interest payable only at maturity. Moving to slide seven, as depicted on the left side, Centerbridge has provided a $225 million new term loan, which refinances our former revolving credit facility and includes a provision that accretes interest, resulting in no cash interest payments until maturity. As depicted on the right side of the slide, Centerbridge has committed to provide $119 to $127 million of equity through a $5.6 million initial equity placement that was completed this morning at U.S. 13.5 cents per share, which is equal to the 30-day volume-weighted average price for our shares as of the market close on Friday, 17 October. That is the VWAP price. A further 10% premium will be paid upon shareholder approval of the remaining recapitalization transactions. And this initial equity placement has brought Centerbridge's ownership up to 19.9%. Three remaining equity steps are subject to shareholder approval, and I'll provide more detail on those in a moment. As you can see on this slide, once these equity transactions are complete, Centerbridge will own a minimum of 41.6% of the company and will be truly aligned to drive value maximization for all of Boart Longyear shareholders. If you look at slide 8, you can see how our equity and debt stakeholders will be impacted by the recapitalization. The top portion of the slide depicts Centerbridge's ownership increasing from its current level of 19.9 to 41.6 as a result of the $21 million conditional placement, the issuance of 16 million of ordinary shares in exchange for 16 million of the company's 7% senior unsecured notes held by Centerbridge. As I mentioned, the recapitalization also includes a rights offering, which I will come to. Because Centerbridge's commitment to underwrite the rights offering, their ownership could increase if other shareholders choose not to take up their rights. Concurrent with the rights offering, Centerbridge will also commit to buy up to U.S. $20 million of shares at U.S. 13.5 cents per share from shareholders who do not wish to continue their investment in Boart Longyear. In the box on the top right, we've noted some of the options available to existing shareholders. And as you can see, shareholders can do nothing or they can exercise their rights to maintain their existing percentage ownership in the company. They can, through the renounceability feature, sell or buy other rights. They can also sell their shares, either on the market or back to Centerbridge. So we are trying to provide shareholders with a number of options that allow them to participate. The bottom half of the slide depicts our pre- and post-recapitalization debt maturities. To summarize these charts, we've extended our debt maturities, extinguished 16 million of our 7% notes, and potentially replaced up to 105 million of our 10% senior secured notes with more favorable interest terms and the same maturity. Slide 9 has some more specifics on the debt. The term loan is broken into two tranches. Both tranches share certain provisions, including a 12% interest rate, accreting interest, and a covenant-lite structure. Tranche A provides our working capital needs and was fully drawn this morning up to $120 million. Tranche B is debt neutral, available only to refinance the tender. And you will have seen that concurrent with the recapitalization announcement this morning, we have also announced a tender offer in the U.S. for up to $105 million of our 10% senior secured notes. The early tender price is set at 108% of par. If you move to slide 10, I promised a few more details on the debt or on the equity. So I've already talked about the $5.6 million initial equity placement. On the remaining transactions, subject to shareholder approval, we have agreed to a $21 million follow-on conditional placement to Centerbridge at a price of 15.54 to 15.57 cents, representing an approximately 15% premium to the VWAP. A U.S. $76 million renounceable rights offering, fully underwritten by Centerbridge, at the Australian dollar rights price, which will be the Australian equivalent of the VWAP price without any premium, so that 13.5 cents, based on the prevailing Australian dollar to the U.S. dollar exchange rate on the business day prior to the launch of the rights offer. And then finally, the exchange of 16 million of the company's 7% unsecured bonds held by Centerbridge for 16 million of equity, also at a 15% premium. So in summary, Centerbridge is paying a 15% premium across these conditional placements and our shareholders will be able to exercise without that premium at the VWAP through the renounceable rights offer. If you go to slide 11, a couple of other features. So once approved by shareholders, the recap does include a share buyback feature capped at US $20 million. And again, that buyback will be at the VWAP price. This will be fully funded by Centerbridge. It's cash neutral to the company, and it will run concurrent with the rights offer. Also, once approved by shareholders, the recapitalization provides that to the extent Centerbridge's ownership were to exceed 49.9% of the voting power of the company's voting stock as a result of its acquisition of shares under the recapitalization transactions, Centerbridge will receive, in lieu of the ordinary shares it would otherwise have received, non-voting preference shares that are convertible into ordinary shares at the ratio of 1-to-1. Slide 12 sets out a sources and uses and pro forma cap table, which I'm not going to spend too much time on. This assumes the tender for the full $105 million under our senior secured notes. You can see on the left-hand side in the sources, $352 million of new capital coming into the business. And on the uses side, you can see the pay down of the revolver, the repayment of the 10% notes and the premium, and the equitization of the $16 million of 7% notes held by Centerbridge. Importantly, the resulting cash to the balance sheet is simply the difference between our beginning cash at June 30th of 2014, the pro forma cash at the end of the very column on the far right, and that results in a $253 million of total cash in the pro forma post-recapitalization. That difference of about $186 million ends up as cash to the balance sheet, so a significant addition to our liquidity. So recognizing that Centerbridge is aligned with our shareholders and has made significant investments in both the top of the capital structure through the secured term loans, as well as the equity layer of the capital structure, and in recognition of that significant investment, our board of directors has appointed Jonathan Lewinson, Senior Managing Director of Centerbridge, as a director, expanding the board to 10, and the directors did that effective this morning. Following shareholder approval of the conditional transactions, Centerbridge will also have the contractual right to nominate additional directors to the board, proportionate to its ownership of the company's ordinary shares, but not to equal or exceed half of the board. So why did our independent directors recommend this transaction? You can see this on slide 14. As we've said, since announcing the strategic review back in February, doing nothing is just not an option. The bank covenants under our former revolving credit facility were almost certainly going to blow up in June of next year. The strategic review process we have undertaken with the assistance of Goldman Sachs has been thorough. It's been comprehensive, and I can tell you it's been almost nonstop. We truly have left no stone unturned as we examined all of the options available to the company. And while we had other options, none of them provided the comprehensive solution that the Centerbridge-led recapitalization provides. As I have said several times already in this presentation, this proposal provides an infusion of both debt and equity capital, and it does certainly better position the company to sustain our business through this cycle to a market recovery. And finally, the Centerbridge proposal allows, and in fact, it encourages existing shareholders to participate right alongside Centerbridge in a rights offering, which is at a discount to the price that Centerbridge paid for its initial placement and that it will pay for the conditional placements. Looking at the indicative timeline on slide 15, I would just point out that we expect to close the tender offer in mid-November for our senior notes, followed by a mid-December shareholder meeting and, if approved, launch of the rights offering and share buyback. On this schedule, the rights offering and share buyback would close in mid to late January. In summary, around the recapitalization, we believe that this Centerbridge-led recapitalization repositions Boart Longyear for a much brighter future. The company will be in a much stronger financial position. We will secure our position as the world's leading provider of the drilling services, drilling equipment, and performance tooling for mining and drilling companies globally. We will have a more stable capital structure that will provide more time for our markets to recover and for our shareholders to benefit, and to benefit not just from that recovery in the market, but also from the potential for better margins from the business as a result of the substantial cost reduction and efficiency measures that the company has taken in the last 24 months. When the recapitalization is completed, we will significantly reduce the financial risks that have been dogging our company since mid-2012. We will remove that shadow of uncertainty. We will provide our customers, our senior note holders, and our creditors with an increased level of certainty that the company has the financial strength to meet all of its obligations, with the knowledge the company's liquidity has increased substantially, and we have a well-known and well-regarded capital provider who has invested in both the company's debt and equity. And finally, we will, management believes, likely remove the current uncertainty disclosures in the company's financial statements. And we do think that has had a downward draft to both our share price and how people view our credit, and that removing those two things will increase the value of our franchise. So that concludes our comments on the recapitalization proposal. We do want to briefly cover our third quarter results announcement, which we released today. And I'm going to turn it over to Jeff, our CFO, Jeff Olson, to speak briefly about those, and then I'll have a couple of concluding remarks. Jeff?
Good morning. I'll briefly cover our third quarter results starting on slide 18. As always, when we talk about the business, we want to begin with safety. Safety is a core value of Boart Longyear, just as it is for our customers. We're pleased that we have an improving total case incident rate and lost time incident rate in 2014 over 2013 results. We're working hard to create a proactive safety culture at Boart Longyear, and our goal is zero harm. Messaging around our Make It Safe, Make It Personal, Make It Home safety initiative has been well received by our employees and our customers and our employees' families. Turning to slide 19, revenue in the third quarter of $239 million is down 14% as compared to the third quarter of 2013, but represents an improvement over the second quarter of 2014 of 7%. Adjusted EBITDA is lower in the third quarter of 2014 than the third quarter of 2013 by a similar percentage to revenue at 15%, but is improved over the second quarter of 2014 primarily as a result of improved EBITDA in our products division. Improved rig utilization in the third quarter of 2014 over both the third quarter of 2013 and the second quarter of 2014 gives us more reason to believe that the drilling services drilling services are stabilizing and we are at or close to the bottom of the cycle. While we are seeing some improvement in rig utilization, we are still at historic low utilization levels and continue to see pricing pressure for our drilling services division. Ongoing pressure on commodity prices is still a challenge for the industry, and our customers continue to focus on costs. Our products business is experiencing improving order backlog numbers in the third quarter of 2014 compared to both the third quarter of 2013 and the second quarter of 2014. We continue to be able to fulfill most customer orders from existing stocks. Net debt of $551 million has decreased slightly in the third quarter of 2014 as compared to the second quarter of 2014 on improved operating cash flow and lower SG&A costs. We have included additional information in the appendix on both the drilling services and products divisions. With that, I'll turn it back over to Richard to conclude our presentation.
Thanks, Jeff. So while we have been working on the recapitalization, we continue to be committed to pushing our business forward. and we have focused on continuously improving our safety performance on our customers, both in the Drilling Services and Global Products divisions, bringing continued increases in efficiency and safety to our Drilling Services job sites, and innovation to our products business. We've also focused on improved cash generation from the business. The recapitalization, when complete, allows us to continue on that path that we have set, protecting and investing in our already strong franchise and our great employees, keeping the management team and our employees laser focused on value creation through the cycle, bringing more financial and operational discipline to the business, and carefully stewarding the company's capital going forward. We will, over time, create a stronger business with the organizational capability to better manage our working capital and capital investment throughout the business cycle, while ensuring we're able to deliver safe, efficient services to our drilling services customers and innovative customer-oriented products. Finally, we'll continue to seek to create a more nimble organization, one that's focused on meeting the local needs of our customers through local empowered management, while keeping our employees safe and productive and creating value for our shareholders. So that's our presentation. Thanks for listening. And operator, we can now open it up for questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then 2. Your first question today comes from David Okolsky from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good evening. Congratulations. This is a tremendous transaction, a tremendous win for, I think, both you and for Centerbridge. So my first question just relates to the 10% bonds as well as the 7% bonds. I think I noticed somewhere in the presentation that Centerbridge's new term loan will have security over a certain portion of the business that currently not guaranteeing the 10s. Is that correct? Have the 10s or the 7s, are they giving up any security?
No, the 10s and the 7s are not giving up any security. We have created a unrestricted subsidiary into which we are putting up to $45 million of additional collateral, and that is to help securitize a portion of the PIK interest over time, the accreting interest. But there is no give up in terms of security for either the 7s or the 10s. And
gotcha.
Remember... Remembering this, our seven were unsecured to start with.
Right. Is there a new maximum level of debt in the current capital structure as it's conceived?
There is not a new maximum level of debt. No.
Are there any financial covenants in the new conceived capital structure?
There are no financial covenants in the new capital structure. There are, of course, events of default, like any term loan would have, but there are no financial maintenance covenants at all.
Okay. And then with respect to the 10s, I just want to make sure I understand correctly. The $105 million par value that you guys intend to tender for, you intend to pay a premium of 8% over par, correct? So 108 of par? Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. And we did release a tender announcement, which should be on the wire with a few more details about that.
Okay. And if I could, I haven't seen that, but if I could just ask about that, is that going to be a pro rata, how is that going to work? In other words, if I own 3 million bonds, just as an example, would 1.05 million bonds automatically be tendered for? Or I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do, and I can't answer your question whether it's pro rata or not, but if you look at the announcement, you'll find a reference to who you can call to talk to about tendering the bonds.
Gotcha. Okay, and then with respect to the quarter, it seems to me like products is picking up a little bit more rapidly than drilling services. I don't know if you have that same impression. The reason I say that is, at some point, your customers need to start restocking. Is that sort of a fair interpretation?
Yeah, traditionally, I think there is a relationship where the products business has been somewhat of a leading indicator for our drilling services business. Having said that, we did find a slight improvement in September in rig utilization over 2013 September, but I wouldn't call it a turnaround in any way yet in the drilling services business. Clearly, we think it's stabilized, but while products seem to have picked up a bit in the last couple of months, it's probably a trend too early to call.
Well, thanks very much, guys. Congratulations, and I'll turn it over.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Stephen Johnson from Australia Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Stephen Johnson here. Yes. Now, you said there's no limit on debt, but just to put things into the big picture, the debt you have of more than $500 million is sixfold of what the company's market value is. So how confident are you that you can get the debt problem under control?
So just a couple things on that. So one of the important features of what we are doing today is trying to reduce our net debt over time. Obviously, with the term loan, our gross debt will likely stay the same. Our ability to pay down debt will directly relate to improvement in the market, as well as our continued focus on efficiency and other measures, watching our inventory levels, our capital spend, which we've been doing very effectively over the last 24 plus months. And what I would tell you is it will take time to pay down this debt. Importantly, though, we have, in addition to refinancing our debt here, which is basically what we've done, and putting the difference in the term loan between what we raised the term loan and pay back in the revolver on the balance sheet, we also are raising equity. So in looking at the amount of debt, it is important to note that we are more than doubling the amount of the market value of our equity, with no additional debt on the balance sheet from a net debt perspective. So I think, are we reducing risk with this transaction? Absolutely. Do we need to reduce it further? Absolutely.
Richard, were other private equity groups interested in buying into Bogart Longyear?
Absolutely. We had a number of people invest, you know, who were interested all the way back to early March when we really got into this process. And as I said, we have been thorough. I don't think there is a rock in the world that we haven't underturned under which maybe there were some private equity people, but certainly above ground as well. We've talked to a lot of people in the private equity world, as well as a lot of banks and other interested parties who I think really see the value of our franchise, could see that the value of that franchise was in effect swamped by too much debt. And I can tell you around all the people that we have spoken to have spent time with the franchise, the management team, understanding the business, universally what they conclude is great franchise, too much debt. So what do we have now? Great franchise, lead investor, less debt, more focus.
Has this decision from Centerbridge today saved the company from bankruptcy?
I don't have a comment about that. I think this decision today is a great solution for us going forward. We have a lot of other options that we could have opted to take. Obviously, as I said, we think this is the best option in front of us.
All right, Richard, thank you for taking my questions.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We are showing no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. O'Brien for closing remarks. Oh, I do apologize. We have a follow-up question from David Okolsky from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
So I just wanted to chat a little bit more about the equity capital infusion. I'm not especially familiar with a lot of the Aussie terminology. So there's a renounceable rights offering for $76 to $84 million. Can you just explain that, Richard, if you don't mind?
Sure. So you could think of it as a common rights offering in the U.S. of that range, with the additional, if you will, bell and whistle related to it. Here in Australia, Generally, if you do an equity raising, you do it through a rights offering, which allows current shareholders to not be diluted by investing whatever dollars it takes to maintain the same percentage ownership that they own prior to the transaction. That's the basis of a rights offering. So as opposed to the U.S., where we would just sell it to whomever, our first obligation is to existing shareholders through this rights offering approach. The renounceability feature allows people who do not want to invest additional capital in the company to actually sell their renounceable right in a market which will be created on the exchange here. And they can buy and sell those rights up until the time that the rights offering period expires, and then those renounceable rights would transition into being settled as a result of the rights offering closing. So it's really just a feature to make sure existing shareholders are protected from dilution, that those who want to invest can. They can put the same dollars up and retain their same percentage ownership in the company. Or if they choose to, they could actually just sell their rights to someone else who could then exercise those rights.
Okay. I got it. All right. So, and just to clarify, in terms of Centerbridge's new minimum and maximum ownership, at a minimum they'll own 41.6%, at a maximum they'll own 49.9%. Is that right?
49.9% of the ordinary shares, but they could also own additional amounts as a result of people not taking advantage of the rights offer or through, well, really just through the rights offer. And if people don't take that opportunity to utilize their rights as the underwriter, those would accrue to Centerbridge. And in any of those cases where their ownership, their economic ownership, would go beyond 49.9%, they will then be acquiring preferred shares instead of ordinary shares. Those preferred shares do not carry voting rights with them and would be exchangeable on a one-for-one basis into common shares over time. So their ownership level could actually go up.
So over, and what's that period of time over which, during which they could increase?
Yeah, actually they will always retain a 49.9% limit on their voting shares. So if they want to convert the preferred shares, they would have to sell down voting shares, and then those preferred shares would convert as they sell down ordinary shares, those preferred shares would convert into ordinary on a one-for-one basis at the VWAP price. But again, they would be limited to only 49.9% of voting shares. The rest of the preferred would convert over time, as I said, as they sell off their ordinary shares.
Okay. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Justin Niesner from Mining News. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, just wanted to ask about, you said that going forward, the company was going to try to establish a more nimble approach in an ongoing environment of low utilization rates. I was just wondering if you could add more detail to what that strategy would entail.
Well, look, I think we already have a lot of that strategy in place today. What I really wanted to emphasize is that we serve a very local market while we serve global companies like BHP and Rio Tinto and Newmont and Barrick. We actually serve a very local market because exploration and production drilling is really done at the mine site. And I know Alan Sides, who leads our drilling services business, is absolutely committed to making sure that our local customers are taken care of by local talented management who really understand what it is that our customers need at that particular site. In addition, though, we are noticing that more and more we also need to have a more global relationship with many of our customers. And this is not like Boart Longyear hasn't been focused on it. I think this is an evolution of how purchasing done is around the world. A lot of it is done more centrally now. But a lot of mining operations, as you would know with the Mining News, are local. And our commitment is to empower people locally to make sure we are providing the highest level of customer service. As Alan says continuously to me, straight, safe meters that we deliver on time to our customers to really add value to their exploration and production opportunities. And we are absolutely committed to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. O'Brien for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, operator, and thanks to all of you for attending today. Jay Clement, who's in charge of IR for us, Jeff Olson, and myself will be around. We're happy to answer questions. Just let Jay know, and we can schedule time to talk to anybody who has further questions. I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.